See, thank you, Tracy. I heard this morning you have a lot of inserts in your bulletin this morning. I trust you'll take time to read that. There are inserts of encouragement. There's also inserts of announcements of various ministries. While you're there in your bulletin and looking at all the inserts, I want to invite you to take out your outline. Outline for the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you, now this is kind of self-critique, well, self-condemning, I guess, even. How many of you really enjoy it at the sermon time? Some of you watch your watches, and I'm not trying to watch mine too, I really do. But as you're at the sermon time, you hear the preacher say, "Now in conclusion." You know, it's almost like there's a unified, you don't hear it sitting there, but I hear it up here. And you know, I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ had that at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. I have to believe and think that he didn't. And that's why his conclusion is so manifold, if you will. It has different parts to it. And I don't think anyone there was saying, you know, when is he going to end this? I think they began to say, oh, wow, he really means this. He's not just really sincere, which he is all the time, but he's telling us the truth all the time. The term would be, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. As we come to the conclusion, all together? Yeah. God is so good, isn't it? All the time, you miss that. You had that last week. Okay, so quick we forget, right? All right, now Matthew chapter 7, and the following paragraphs are really parts of the Lord's conclusion. And as you see on your outline before you, the Lord begins a lengthy conclusion. It's not, well, that's it, folks. But it's much more than that, isn't it? It's so much more than that. It's saying, now, what are you going to do? And to help you process that of what are you going to do, I want to give you a number of pictures. And so the Lord gave them those pictures. And one of the pictures that he gives is the pictures of the broad way and the narrow way. Follow with me as we read this passage. And we'll pick it up at verse 13 and 14, okay? Chapter 7 of Matthew. Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Wow. The Lord always taught with contrast in mind. This is a great pictorial contrast in words. In fact, I would dare say that the picture that the Lord is painting here in words, the broad way and the narrow way, the broad gate and the narrow gate, the easy way and the hard way, you probably saw it maybe in Sunday school, maybe in Good News Club. I know that missionaries have used that picture literally in a picture form. We had a rollout picture there in Kalimantan Barat when we were sharing the gospel in the villages of the Dayaks. Of course, it was in Indonesian, but they got the gist of it because they saw the picture. The picture is the broad way, the broad gate, as contrasted to the narrow gate and the narrow way. It's something that you can easily understand and easily apply. And that's what the Lord was getting to the hearts of those who are listening. It wasn't just his disciples are those who said, "Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus." But also the crowd that kind of gathered around too. And so I'm sure they got the point of his conclusions. And there are multiple conclusions because there are multiple applications here. But take a look, if you will, as we take a look more deeply. First of all, we see there's a decision to be faced in these two verses. And every one of us make decisions. We're going to get to that in a moment. Aside from a decision that everyone here has to face, there's a direction to follow. Once you've made that decision, whatever your decision is, there's a direction you're going to follow. And because of the decision you make and the direction you follow, there's a destiny to be found. And that's exactly what the Lord is talking about here. There's a decision, there's a direction, and there's a destiny. But they're two different ways, two different destinies that he has here. So let's take a look, if you will. Where the Lord says, in fact, it begins with the command, because it's in the imperative, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate." That's his thrust. He is heart's desire. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you believe that? I do, because it's God's word. And Jesus Christ is God. And so the Son of God was not willing that any should perish, but he desired that all would come to repentance. So when he says, "Enter into the narrow gate," I believe he was speaking to everyone who was there, who was listening, who was really listening. And some people are there to, you know what I mean. I've been there too. But he was speaking to everyone there. And he was giving a command. And so the intention of this illustration is that they would make that decision, that right decision that he's commanding them to. And so he's saying, "Enter into the narrow gate." And so we have there's a decision that we face. You have the narrow gate, and of course later on he says, for the gate that is wide. So we know that there's two gates, two ways, two ends. Many of us make decisions every day. In fact, the truth is, if you're alive and breathing, check. All right. If you're alive and breathing, right now you've made a number of decisions. Some big, some small. What am I going to wear? Am I going to comb my hair this way or comb my hair that way? You know, many decisions. Am I going to be on time to Sunday school? Am I going to just take my time? Am I going to be on time for church? A decision. Am I going to pray before I go to Sunday school and before I go to worship service if the Lord would open my heart? That's a decision, isn't it? That's a decision that we all make. There are many decisions. Some of them are small, some of them are big, you know? Where am I going to work? What kind of work am I doing? We make decisions every day of our lives and throughout our life. We make those decisions, whatever they may be. Where am I going to live? We make some big decisions too, along with work and living and education. Who am I going to marry? That's a biggie. That's a real big one. Yeah, who am I going to marry? And so we all are faced with those decisions, small and great. But you know, there are life-changing decisions too. What you wear this morning isn't going to change your life. How you comb your hair is not going to change your life. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if you got here on time or you got here late, that's not going to change your life. It may form a habit. But it's not going to change your life. God has given us the means, the opportunities, to make decisions in life. But he also sets before men and women, families, decisions that are life-changing. Take a look at your outline, for as examples, if you will. Israel was in the wilderness, and the Lord instructed Moses to tell his people, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, and I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose, for decision, choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice and upholding, and by holding fast to him. So he's calling them to a life-changing decision. And notice, did you notice in that, that passage there, where God was calling his people, the Israelites, to make a decision to choose? That choice, that decision that they made, was going to affect their children and their grandchildren? I believe that's true about the decision we're talking about this morning, too. Well, let's go on, because after Israel came into the promised land, Joshua confronted the people again with the choice of continuing to serve the Egyptian and Canaanite gods that they had adopted, or turning to the Lord who delivered them from Egypt and given them the land promised to Abraham. And so, through Joshua, his servant, God says, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Now, Joshua made that decision, and along with his family. As for me and my family, we will what? We will serve the Lord. And then there's another time there at Mount Carmel. Remember that great dramatic confrontation between the Lord and his servant Elijah and the priests and the prophets of Baal, the false god, the false way. In fact, you could say it was a broad way. And Israelites were going on that way along with all the other people that were worshiping Baal and Moloch and everything else. And so on Mount Carmel, there's a con. There's a conflict, but more than a conflict, there was a battle going on. And Mount Carmel, the prophet Elijah asked the people of Israel, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. God was calling them through his prophet, Elijah, to a decision, to make a choice. That would be a life-changing choice. And then again, take a look at your outline. The Lord commanded Jeremiah, another prophet, if you will, has set a choice again before his people. And notice what he says. Thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. The broad way that leads to destruction. So there is indeed a decision that you and I face, a direction that you and I must follow, and there's a destiny that we find. And like he said through Jeremiah to his people then, he says, I set before you a way of life and a way of death. Crucial decisions are always important. And let me tell you, beloved, that this is the most crucial decision you will ever make. Now, I know some of you are sitting there, but Bill, I'm already saved. I've already entered into that narrow gate. I'm already on that narrow way. Well, this conclusion is still for you and me. Because it begins with that decision, and if you make that decision, praise God and rejoice in him. But there's also the direction that your life must reflect that decision you made earlier in Christ Jesus. So there's a decision to be faced, every one of us. There's a direction to follow, every one of us. There's a destiny to find. And that's true of every one of us who are sitting here. So follow with me, if you will. As we go on to the decision that we must face, there's two gates and only two gates. There's not three, there's not four, there's not five. Like, if you will, this is age of inclusiveness, where every religion is okay. You know, if you want to be a Buddhist, that's fine, go ahead. I don't really know what I am, but I'm okay with that. Because after all, no matter where you're at, there are many paths going up the mountain of God. And all those different paths, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, we could go ahead and they'll even put Christianity there too. We live in an age of inclusivism. The Lord wasn't about inclusivism in the way of salvation, but he was certainly in line with including all with the call of salvation. Amen? Yeah. And so the Lord says there's only two ways, not three, not four, not five, not ten, but only two. And if anything that you leave here this morning from Jesus' conclusion of his message of the Sermon on the Mount, because he takes the whole Sermon on the Mount and he brings all his teachings about what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God right now, how to live as a person who's in the kingdom of God already, and he's taking all that and bringing it to the conclusion, because you know what? I believe he was offering. He was offering before everyone who was in earshot this conclusion of two ways. A decision that we face and I face. A direction that we must follow, and a destiny that every one of us will find. There's a guarantee of that. Just as well as Christ guaranteed there's only two ways, beloved, be assured, there's only two destinies. Not a half a dozen, not a dozen. So as we go through here, two gates, only two gates. The way of a fool, there are two gates to enter. Let me just pause there, if you will, getting ahead of myself. The command to enter is not to admire it. Oh, isn't that a nice religion? Oh, well, aren't those nice words that Jesus is saying? You know, it's very easy to get very comfortable about that Sermon on the Mount if you say, well, you know, I'm doing most of that. I'm doing some of that. And I'm better than so-and-so. And he didn't call them to admire the gate. He didn't call them to debate the gate or to ponder. He says, enter, command. You know, we would be foolish if we didn't hear and obey Jesus Christ. You and I, personally, would be very foolish. Take a look at what God's word says about the fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man listens to advice. For a time there, I was listening to my own advice. Were you there too? Then I began to realize that God says, no, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. I want you to have my wisdom. My wisdom is found in my Son, Jesus Christ. So the command is to enter. The command is to enter the narrow gate. Not just any gate, but the narrow gate. And it's very specific because he begins right in the very beginning there. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Then he compares with the other gate, if you will, the wide gate. Take a look, if you will, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. You could also substitute the word gate there. I'm the gate of the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not listen to them, but I am the door, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Are you listening? He says that a sheep listen to him. So this is wisdom from Jesus Christ. To enter into that narrow gate, you're going to say, yes, well, I have. Well, there's a decision indeed that we face, and if you face that decision, and you've made that decision to enter into the narrow gate, and now you have a new direction to follow. And that new direction is not easy. You know that. If you're following Jesus Christ, you know that he's actually truthful and actually correct. Following Jesus Christ is not easy. But let's go on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. All the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. He's coming. The New Testament says he's come. And so the New Testament is to bring us to Christ. But the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bring you into Christ. You see, there's a world of difference. If you and I have only allowed the Holy Spirit to, as it says here, to point us to Christ, and we celebrate Christmas, it's coming. If we use the New Testament, it only brings us, if you will, brings us to Jesus, then you're still at the gate, and you haven't entered in. But let me tell you something, beloved. If you enter into that door, it was Christ. If you enter into that gate, it was Jesus. make that decision you face right now that I faced before, your life will change. Your life will change. There's a sense of urgency to enter. That's why the command. Enter into the narrow gate. Again, in James, take a look at James. So we understand why. Why is it so urgent? Why can't I put it off till tomorrow? You know, I think Wednesday would be a good day to go through that gate. How many agree that Wednesday would be a good day instead of today? And raise your hand. Well, you're in agreement with James, and not only that, you're in agreement with God. Take a look, if you will, at what James says. He says here, Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and train and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then what? Vanishes. If you're here this morning, and maybe the Holy Spirit is really fond of penetrating your heart with God's word in Christ's conclusion to his sermon. And you know that right now today, that you face a decision to make. That you're no longer going to be on the broad way, but you're going to go through that narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ, and enter into that narrow way. You need to know also, from God's word, that today is the day of salvation for you. Because none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Let's go on. So what must you do? Take a look at those 4 points. If you very quickly, and we won't explain them, they're clear, aren't they? You must enter the narrow gate, because Jesus says it. That's simple. But you must enter now, because Jesus says it. You must enter alone. Oh, how Diane and I wished when we had our children. And maybe you did too. I'm sure you did too when you had your children. And when you have your grandchildren too, oh, how we wish we could take our kids with us through that gate. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? How we could take our grandkids through that gate. But you know something? They have to go through that gate on their own. That's why it's so important for parents who have gone through that gate and are now in the narrow way, which is a hard way. It's not an easy way. It's not easy being a Christian parent because sometimes you have to say no to what other parents are saying yes to. You understand that, don't you? Because why? Because you're in the narrow way. You've entered into Christ. But you will be blessed. But it's because you have an issue, a decision that you need to face, and you face it, you made. But you also have a direction to follow. And if you're following that direction, God will also use that. Your life. That's that. God will use your life to confront your sons and daughters, grandsons and grandsons. And yes, I know some of you, praise God, you have great grandkids. Amen. So be assured, if that decision you face from the broad way to the narrow way, and you've made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're following him, then there's a direction that you need to follow. And just like the Lord promised to the Israelites, if they decide for him, he will not only bless them, but through them and through their walk of faith, the decision they made, he will also bring blessings upon their children. No, we can't take them through the gate. We can't push them through the gate. Sometimes we wish we could. But you know what you can do? You can lead them. You must enter with repentance. I repent. The call of the gospel is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Does that mean that I fall down on my knees and I wail and moan and everything else? Oh, I'm so sorry, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, if that so is moving you by the gospel to do that, and if you're really sorry, then maybe that is truly a sorrow unto repentance and a godly sorrow indeed. but it may not be. But true repentance is twofold. Twofold. One word that's translated repentance in the New Testament is changing the course of your way. Going from this way, the broad way, to the narrow way. That's one word. We call that conversion, turning around. Another word that's used for repentance also in the New Testament is a change of mind. Both must occur. A change of direction and also a change of mind. Changing my mind of how I look at myself. I'm a sinner. I desperately need my Savior every day. And I meet people that also need the Savior. I begin to see them different because God's changing my mind. I see God different. He's my Heavenly Father. Yes, He's going to call me into account. I know that. He's a loving Father. And He will judge. He will chastise. But He does it for my good. There's a direction to follow, and a way that is easy, and a way that is hard. Which have you chosen? Which have you chosen? Forgive my English today. Okay. Which have you chosen? The easy way or the hard way? You know, contrary to this, my dad, forgive me using my dad all the time. I don't think he'd appreciate that either. But my dad would always say, never to our sister. She was never wrong. Just ask her. But he would always say to his sons, now, Billy and Robin, there are two ways in life, the easy way and the hard way. He wasn't talking about this. He was talking from human wisdom. Maybe you've heard that too. Maybe you've heard it from maybe your dad. Probably didn't hear it from my dad, but I did. And we got the point when he was saying, especially when we were being disciplined by him, that there is an easy way, there's a hard way. But you know, that's not what the Lord's talking about. Because that's part of human wisdom. Because sometimes we make wrong choices and we do incur hard things. We do incur consequences of our decisions, okay? That's part of life, cause and effect. But what the Lord is talking about here, if you have made your decision that you face for staying on the broad way, it's going to be so easy. Because there's no restrictions, there's no regulations. You can do what you want. You can think what you want. You can say what you want. Isn't that great? It's an easy way. But if you have gone and you've made that decision that you face to go enter the narrow gate, who is Jesus Christ, that way is hard. And you don't. It's hard to live a Christian life. So some of you may say, maybe you're thinking, well, why then do it? Well, because of the destiny you will find. But between the destiny you will find and the gate that you have entered, you will find that there's someone walking that narrow way with you. And that someone is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you walking with Jesus? You know why it's hard? Because of sin in the world that we live in. You know why it's hard? Because sometimes we want to sin too. Sin brings hardness and difficulties to life, especially. Have you been there? I have. But the answer is Jesus. And He always will be. So you have the wide way that is easy, attractive, inclusive, indulgent, and self-orientated. Notice what Proverbs says. It says, the way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. That's the destiny. Again, the way that is narrow is hard, demanding, self-denying, and cross-bearing. It's a personal commitment and a discipleship throughout life. And Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Christian life is not a picnic. But Jesus is there with you, whatever you're going through. Because when you pick up your cross, not his cross, your cross, when he's saying you're identifying with him. And because you are identifying with Jesus Christ, through that gate, you made that decision. Now you have a direction to follow, but you're doing it with Jesus. you're bearing the cross of your identity in Jesus Christ. And there's sometimes even loved ones say, oh, you're a Christian. With derision. It's hard, but not impossible. The way is narrow and is hard, demanding and self-denying and cross-bearing. Take a look at Luke chapter 14. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But when you enter that cross and you make that decision, because of a decision that you face, that we all face, but you face it personally, and you make that decision to enter into the narrow way, which is going through faith and trusting in Jesus Christ, and now you are on the hard way. And Jesus says, you who are walking my way, you who are a disciple of mine, if you do not hate your mother, your father, your brother, family members, what's he talking about? And even yourself. You say, wait a second. What's this all about? I don't want to hate my mother. I don't want to hate my brother. I don't want to hate my family. The Lord's using a hyperbole there. He's using, if you will, a contrast. He's commanded us already to love one another. He's already commanded us also to love one another as Christ loves us. So he's not speaking of hate in the true sense of an evil, wicked heart hating somebody. But he's talking in contrast. Do you love Jesus Christ that much that when Jesus says, I want you to do this, I want you to go there, you're willing to say to your parents who say, no, don't go there, don't do that. No mom, no dad, I'm following Jesus. Or when your sons and daughters are saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want you to do this for me. And they're all grown up probably too, okay? But Jesus says, no, I want you here, I want you doing this. In my name and with me. Not just for me, but with me. Will you do it? You see, that's where the rub comes. That's why he says it's a hard way. He's not talking about truly hating in a wicked sense, but in contrast. Because you know, sometimes when Christian children say, Mom, Dad, I'm going to the mission field. No, we don't want you going there. You got a good job and your family's doing well. You have a good house. You're in a community. Do not go. Jesus is telling me to go. I'm going to go. But you must hate me. Sometimes parents will say that. But you must hate me. No, I don't. I love you. But I love Jesus more. How many of us would say that? But every one of us should. It's hard. When the disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? They're in John chapter 6. Something extraordinary happened then. Jesus was talking about a total commitment to him. A total reliance upon him for everything in life. Because that is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Because he will provide everything you and I need. Everything that we need for life and godliness we have in Jesus Christ. Are we then committed to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. For my day today and for all of my future. Because I'm on a direction that I'm following. But you know what happened? There were some that had heard him, followed him for whatever reason. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus said therefore to the 12, do you not want to go away also? Do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life, and we have believed, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is hard. It's hard living a Christian life. In the marriage. In the family. Sometimes it's even hard living a Christian life in the church. Because of sin. Have you found some? But don't be like that crowd that left him. Be like that crowd, like Peter, when the Lord said, "Will you leave me also?" Lord, to whom shall we go to? There's no one else. Do you believe that also? Or are you just sampling Jesus along the way? Some who go to church are just sampling Jesus along the way. Well, you know, my itch isn't going to scratch here. I'm going to go somewhere else. Many have. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one come to the Father but by me." A few years ago, there was a young African. He was martyred for the cause of Christ. Excuse me. He was martyred for the cause of Christ because he was following Jesus fully, full-heartedly, everything with his life to follow Jesus. Before he died, he wrote these words, and they were found in his room. It said this, "I am a part of the fellowship of the unshamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, worldly talking, cheap living, and work goals. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go till he comes. Give till I drop. Preach till everyone hears and knows. Work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me, because my banner will have been cleared." The decision, direction to follow, it's a hard way, not easy. But Christ is with you in that. There's a destiny to be found. One leads to destruction, the way of destruction, the way of life. The wide way, which is easy, leads to destruction, will enter with many. As it says here in Matthew, I have a couple of verses there before you, Matthew chapter 19, 13. "So it will be at the close of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's where the wide way, the broad way is going. That's a destiny. So there's a decision that we face. And if you have faith and you've made that decision for Jesus Christ, there is a direction that we must follow. But we don't do it alone. We do it with Jesus Christ. Yes, it's hard. Praise God that it's hard. Because Jesus said it was hard. But he said it will not be alone. "Lo, I am with you, even to the ends of the ages. I will never leave you nor forsake you," Jesus says. There's a destiny to be found. One is eternal death. Yes, there is hell. Do you realize that Jesus spoke more of hell than the end of heaven? That's a fact. There's a real hell. That's a destiny of the broad way. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I would not want to be there. But I know, praise God, by the grace of God and through his son Jesus Christ, I will not be there because of what Jesus Christ did and what Jesus Christ has said. Will you also be there with Jesus? Have you made that decision at all face? Have you started the direction of that decision that you've made? Because if you are starting on the direction, or if you're in the direction of the decision for the broad way, that's destiny. It's eternal death. But if you make that decision for Jesus Christ and you entered in through the door, he, Christ Jesus, and you're in that narrow way, yes, it's hard. It's hard. But Christ is with you. And he will bring you home. Not hell. He will bring you home. In Chicago, there was a nightclub. And would you believe it? The name of the nightclub was The Gates of Hell. Can you imagine? We shouldn't be surprised. That's how the world thinks. They make a mockery of God's truth. They make a mockery of what Christ has taught. They make a mockery of Jesus Christ himself. The Gates of Hell. One man, on a lark, just for fun, he asked a policeman on his way, "How can I get to the gates of hell?" On the same street where this nightclub was, there was a church. And do you know what the name of that church was? Calvary Church. You know what the policeman said to him? "Sir, to get to the gates of hell, you've got to pass Calvary." You see what Jesus is saying? It's a broad way. Many are on. There's a narrow gate. Enter into the narrow gate. That narrow way is hard. He will be with you. He is with you. Instead of hell. Because why? You didn't pass by Calvary to get to the gates of hell. You stop at Calvary. And that's where your life begins. You stop at Calvary. That's where the door is open. That's the decision everyone faces. If you made that decision, and you stopped at Calvary, and you went to Christ, He's with you. There's a direction to follow. Yes, it's hard, but He's with you. Make that commitment. Walk that road with Him. You may stumble, you may fall, but He's there with you. He will lift you up. And when we sin, we confess our sin to Him, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to stand us up again. Because you're on that narrow way. Not to the gates of hell. Because you didn't just stop at Calvary. You went through Christ. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Because, beloved, if you're on that narrow way and you're following the rest of Jesus Christ, no matter how hard it gets, listen here, no matter how hard it gets, if you're a believer in Christ, and you make that hard, harder for you maybe than some others, but now, no matter how hard it gets, you will always, always, always have a foretaste of heaven. Always. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that in Him, that in Jesus Christ we have life eternal. Lord, others may reject you, but we have received you. I pray that everyone here, Father, in this auditorium has made that decision that they face to enter into the narrow gate, that now they have a direction to follow, knowing that they have a destiny, a wonderful destiny with you, Lord Jesus, to find in fullness. So, Lord, in the hard times, this narrow way, we know that you're always with us, and we rely, we lean on, we trust in, we walk with you. In your name we pray. Amen.